This is Zombie Strike. Chapter 53, Washington, D.C., 27 July, 2010, 1100 hours local, countdown, 1 year, 3 months, 5 days. Slim Thomas's stomach started to unclench as the odd plane began its final descent into Reagan National. Flying normally didn't bother him. Flying halfway around the globe in an experimental plane that groaned and rattled did bother him. Where had McKenzie and Winston dug up this ungainly craft? The insurance firm's rep refused to answer the question. The plane groaned again, followed by a metallic pop. Slim tightened his grip on the useless armrest. He surveyed his companions. How the soldiers could just nod off as soon as they were strapped in amazed and disturbed Slim.
"Dude, are we there yet?"
asked Steve from the seat next to Slim. As soon as the army showed up, Steve had reverted back to his normal, slightly off-kilter self. Slim didn't know whether to be annoyed or relieved. Besides, there were bigger things to be concerned with.
"Coming in for landing," Slim answered. "The pilot said we should be on the ground in 15 minutes.
"You've been awake the whole trip, dude?"
Steve asked. Slim just nodded.
"Steve should have given you a nice sedative."
"It's okay," Slim quickly said. "They had an Arsenal match on the telly. Made the time fly right by."
"You've been awake for better than 36 hours, Steve said. "As soon as we get a chance, you need to grab some rack time. Steve doesn't understand why you didn't pass out with the rest of us."
"As if I could sleep on this death trap," Slim replied.
"Did you know we went supersonic on this thing?"
"Kind of the point. Still much better than the time that Steve and his team had to ride in the belly of a B-1. That was not fun."
Slim looked askance at the team medic. Some of his tales seemed overly fantastical. Still, they held the odd ring of truth. The plane slammed down on the runway. Almost as soon as the plane slowed, black SUVs surrounded the plane and directed it into an isolated hangar. As the team deplaned, they were surprised to find their field leader waiting for them. Mateo Cortez walked over to the crowd. His face was an unreadable mask. That was never a good sign.
"How's Ken with your daughter?"
Quentin asked. Pain flickered across Mateo's face.
"Ken was lucky," Mateo said. "Bullet lanced right through him. Managed to miss vitals and just torp muscle. Docs plugged him up. He should be up in a week or so. Longer to get fully recuperated. Mercedes is a little more serious."
There was an unspoken command in Mateo's tone not to ask more. Mateo's eyes flicked to the soldiers.
"Chief Warrant Officer Stahl, Mr. Cortez. Colonel Allen sent us along,"
Chief Stahl said, coming to attention and firing off a salute.
"Thought you might need the help."
The three other soldiers followed their leader's example. Mateo gave the four soldiers a long look and then nodded.
"Good. We're going to need all the operators we can lay our hands on," Mateo said, motioning everyone towards the waiting vehicles. "Which leads us to another surprise."
A tall, middle-aged man stepped out of one of the trucks. Slim's eyes widened as he saw the weathered face and black Stetson.
"Jim, what are you doing here?" Slim asked, shocked at the man's sudden appearance.
"I headed out here once I heard about Nigel," Jim answered. "Once I arrived, some feds rounded me up and Mateo gave me the rundown. I offered and the feds were nice enough to provide me some gear."
Jim motioned sarcastically to the vest and web gear that covered his normal jeans and cotton shirt. A 1911 was in a drop leg holster that was mounted a little high. Jim used tactical gear, but he didn't like it. Let him have his revolver and lever action, and he was happy.
"We can play catch up later," Mateo said. We've got a minion on the loose in this city. Colin's been talking to the FBI for a while now. Hopefully, they've managed to get something. As soon as we have a target, we're moving in.
There were nods of agreement, and the zombie strike team members and U.S. Army soldiers loaded into the SUVs. Mateo, Quentin, and the Steve piled into the first truck. Slim opted for the second truck with Jim. The soldiers took the last truck, kicking out the FBI driver. Slim laughed at the agent's confused face. Slim was eager to talk with Jim. He hadn't seen the cowboy for 6 months. They hadn't been close, but they had fought and bled together in some nasty situations. Slim wanted to know how things were with Jim's daughter and that lady that they had met back in Wyoming. Then, all of the built-up fatigue hit him as soon as he sat down. Slim was out before the small convoy left the hangar. Slim felt as if he just closed his eyes when something slammed into the truck. Adrenaline surged through him, and Slim was instantly awake. At first, he thought they'd been hit by another car, except for the molted hole where the front passenger had been. The driver was screaming in pain. The man's suit looked like it had melted into him. Jim was already out of the truck and moving in between stopped cars with a raised M4. Slim grabbed his bag and followed Jim. Outside, Slim could see the frenzy. All three trucks were stopped on a crowded overpass. Actually, all the cars were stopped. From the sheer number of cars, Slim guessed they were somewhere on the beltway. The drivers were abandoning their cars and fleeing every which way. Below the overpass was another crowded beltway interstate. More people were fleeing, but Slim ignored them. Standing on top of the semi was the minion. He was dressed in the black ninja costume and was waving a small rod. The end of the rod glowed with an evil red energy.
"Kill them!"
the minion screamed at several hundred-strong zombie horde that shambled out from under the overpass. Slim stopped and stared at the minion. It was impossible. But the minion was the same height and had about the same build. How could he have survived all those artillery rounds? How could he have made it back to Washington before the team? A strong hand grabbed Slim and yanked him away. Chief Stahl roughly pushed Slim up against an estate car.
"Yeah, I know. Have to figure it out later," the chief said as he saw Slim's stunned face. "Right now, we're kind of in the middle of it. Get on what gear you can."
All of them ducked as a car exploded and sent fragments screaming through the air. One of the soldiers wasn't quite fast enough. A shard of fiberglass lanced into his chest. The digicam went dark as blood poured out of the wound. His comrades leaped into action.
"Medic!"
Stahl calmly hollered. In seconds, the Steve was sliding next to the wounded soldier. Slim let out a relieved breath as he watched the medic's hands dance over the wound. The Steve may be insane, but he was a miracle worker in the field. Slim dug out his ZKC and ammo pouch. It wasn't time to don the armor.
"Stahl, I need your people working on the other side,"
Mateo yelled, pointing to the far side of the overpass.
"Get that horde down!"
Stahl gave Mateo a thumbs up and signaled to his soldiers to move. In seconds came the distinctive pops of M4s. Slim ran over to his team.
"Where are the agents?"
he asked as he scooted next to Quentin. The team was strung out behind a line of cars.
"They scampered as soon as they caught sight of the zombies,"
Quentin said. The big man popped up and let out a short burst. As he ducked back down, Quentin looked over at Slim.
"Didn't we kill that guy on Skull Island?"
"To be fair, it was like we found a body,"
Slim said. He straightened up and took out a zombie as he tried to climb up the embankment to the overpass.
"After that much artillery?" Quentin asked. "I'd be surprised to find a body part."
He joined Slim in attacking the horde. Mateo Cortez reloaded his M4. He hadn't expected Ted to attack him directly. That had been a mistake. Even after everything that happened, Mateo kept underestimating this minion. Was it because Ted had seemed so plain when they had first met? Ted fired another beam from that rod. Mateo ducked as the beam slammed a car at the front of the overpass. It erupted into fire. Mateo recognized the weapon. He should. He led the team against the minions to stop them from stealing it. Mateo thought
they had destroyed it. Something wasn't making sense. The Rod of Fiori was quite capable of reducing all of them to ash. Instead of simply killing them all, Ted was just causing random damage. Or was he? The first hit had been a car in front of the convoy, then the other car behind them, then the second truck. Ted was trying to corral the team. It didn't make any sense. They had enough ammo to take out even that sizable horde that Ted had brought with him. The realization hit Mateo like a hammer. Ted wasn't trying to kill them. He was delaying them, keeping them from Ted's ultimate target. Mateo snatched the sat phone from his belt and frantically dialed Jess's number. Even with the gunfire surrounding them, the busy signal boomed in his ear. Thank you for joining again another episode of Zombie Strike by Derek Ward, narrated by Ken Blanchard. Feel free to visit KenNBlanchard.com for zombie shirts, the zombie book, and just more zombie stuff. You can also find me on Facebook, the narrator, Pastor Ken Blanchard. Until next time.